From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. 8 days after the deadliest mass shooting in American history, the U.S. Senate voted down four proposals to restrict those eligible to purchase firearms and expand screening of gun buyers. Late Monday, Republicans blocked proposals championed by Democrats. Democratic Senators Chris Murphy, including Chris Murphy of Connecticut, held a news conference after the votes.
Today, they've moved on to assault weapons. They specifically recruit lone wolf attackers to go to gun shows to buy assault weapons. And we should take the same tact. So we're not giving up. The American people aren't giving up. We'll watch how these negotiations play out over the next few days, but I will tell you this. They are simply evidence of the fact that Republicans know they are on the wrong side of the electorate. Democracy doesn't allow for this place to be this far out of step with 90% of Americans for very long.
One measure would have blocked those on a variety of federal terror watch lists, including those barred from flying, from buying guns. Another would have expanded mandatory background checks for firearm purchases to include gun show and internet sales. Republicans said they could not vote for any proposal that did not provide a means for those wrongly placed on the terror list to contest the government's election. The Democratic Republic of Congo on Monday declared a yellow fever epidemic in three provinces, including the capital, Kinshasa, after confirming nearly 70 cases. Five people are already dead. Another 1,000 are suspected of having yellow fever. The World Health Organization, which already cited more than 2,500 cases in Angola, said the disease would likely spread throughout the region, particularly during the rainy seasons. This is VOA News. Tunisia expanded a state of emergency in the North African country for another month. The state has been in place since November following a series of terrorist attacks, including a suicide bombing that killed 12 members of the presidential guard in the capital, Tunis, claimed by Islamic State. This is the fourth extension of the state of emergency, which allows a ban on strikes and meetings that might provoke disorder. Outside a refugee camp on Tuesday, a car bomb killed at least six Jordanian border guards and wounded 14 others. There's been no immediate claim of responsibility. In Syria, Islamic State fighters launched counterattacks, pushing government forces out of Raqqa province and trying to break the grip of U.S.-backed Syrian rebels on the outskirts of the IS-held town of Manbij. Regional analyst Stephen Zun says it underscores the Islamic State's continued potency in spite of recent setbacks.
Very few guerrilla groups and virtually no terrorist groups have been able to mount this kind of conventional counterattack. So this is indeed a reminder that we're not dealing with an ordinary terrorist group here.
In Washington, meantime, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry on Monday said he plans to meet with department employees who co-signed a so-called dissent channel memo on U.S. Syrian policy. Kerry called it well-written and very good. White House spokesman Josh Earnest was asked if the president shared that view.
The president does believe that having a procedure in place for State Department employees to make their dissenting views known is valuable. But I think we've been just as clear about the president's policy in Syria, how it has not led yet to the results that we would like to see. And
the 51 mostly mid-level diplomats have called for targeted strikes against the Syrian regime as a means of exerting pressure toward a political settlement. Violence is expected to continue to increase in South Africa as local elections approach in August, say political analysts. VOA's Anita Powell has the story from Johannesburg.
Raucous, violent protests, a trend analysts say they fear will continue until the next round of national polls in 3 years.
I think it's clear that things in South Africa will get worse in the next 2 years.
As analyst Yaki Siliers was making this point, just 20 kilometers from the Institute, protesters torched vehicles and tires, looted shops, and hurled rocks at passing motorists over their unhappiness with the ruling African National Congress. In particular, increasingly unpopular President Jacob Zuma. South Africa's economy contracted severely at the beginning of this year. Nearly 27% of the population is unemployed. As the Rainbow Nation heads violently towards the August 3rd vote, analysts say South Africa's democracy faces its toughest challenge yet.
And that was Anita Powell. I'm Marty Johnson in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.